Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Maurice Ravel, we heard the Alborada del Gracioso, performed by the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra, conducted by our guest today, Stephen Gunzenhauser. We open the fall season with an interview with internationally known conductor Stephen Gunzenhauser, who was also the maestro of the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra. The Lancaster Symphony made its debut in 1947 and has continued to build a reputation of excellence under his direction. Their opening concerts on October 4th, 5th, and 6th feature pianist Leon Bates performing Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 2, the Bach Orchestral Suite No. 3, and Stravinsky's Pulcinella Suite. A delightful interactive experience is offered to the public during the orchestra's nationally recognized open rehearsals, and their programming offers additional surprises throughout the season. Our guest today, Stephen Gunzenhauser, welcome, maestro.
Thank you very much, Jill.
Now, many of you may know his name from all of the recordings that he made with orchestras in Europe. And tell us a little bit about that, Steve.
Well, I have been very lucky. It's a combination of a lot of things, but I've made over 70 recordings with the Slovak Philharmonic and the Radio Orchestra of Slovakia, which at the time that I was making the recordings was Czechoslovakia, a country which no longer exists.
No, the Czech Republic, of course.
But I made the complete works of Dvorak. I've done the complete overtures of Beethoven. I've done the seasons of Vivaldi. So it was quite a series of works. In addition to which, Naxos, which was the record company that was in an explosive mode, found that because of my flexibility and my knowledge of languages, that I could work in a lot of places. As a result, I then also worked with the National Radio Orchestra in Poland. I worked with the National Orchestra of Ireland. So I made a lot of recordings over the years, most of which were in Europe, although I have made one recording which is available in the United States, and that was the Four Seasons of Vivaldi with the former concertmaster of the Harrisburg Symphony, Odin Rathnam.
Now, where are you from originally, Stephen?
I'm from New York.
New York.
Yes,
you are.
New York.
You're from New York, and
High School of Music and Art.
And I don't think people realize what you had to be to get into the High School of Music and Art.
Well, at the time, it was one high school in the 50s that only one of four applicants was accepted.
It was highly competitive.
It was a public school set up by Fiorello LaGuardia, the mayor.
Yes.
And it was wonderful because he established five schools: a High School of Music and Art, High School of Performing Arts, Brooklyn Tech for engineers, Bronx High School of Science, and Stuyvesant High School.
And all for very, very top-notch students.
Yes.
So it's just what, you went to, but no, it was really quite an honor.
And then from there, I wound up going to Oberlin, which resulted in my third year being in Salzburg, Austria at the Mozarteum.
Marvelous.
Which gave me a really good taste for Europe. And it also helped broaden my language base. Because I'm fluent in about five languages
now. I see that you had three successive Fulbright scholars. How does one do that?
Well, I applied, and I was accepted. I went to Cologne, to the conservatory in Cologne, as a Fulbright scholar, and had wonderful opportunities, participated in a couple of competitions for conductors while I was there. I won a couple of the competitions, and I was lucky. I showed well, they say, in the fashion business.
Okay, yeah. You showed well. Well, yeah. You certainly did, but you have been all over. And as I said, we have a lot of recordings with you conducting the Slovak Philharmonic.
Yeah,
and
you know,
so
it's really interesting, Jill. A young conductor wants to do Beethoven. A young conductor wants to do Brahms. I was really very fortunate not only to do most of the standard repertoire, but also to have occasion to do works that nobody's ever heard of, like the Anton Rubinstein Ocean Symphony, which is 7 minutes, like the complete Franz Lachner suites. And the one thing that I discovered being exposed to a lot of these different works, there is
a lot of good music out there. Great.
We don't have to go to a concert just to hear Beethoven or Brahms. And what I thought at the time, which has served me well in Lancaster, is by doing works that people don't know. They come to the concert to hear a work that they really do know, but they're then amazed and delighted
and entertained
by learning something new and unique.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful. So you are now, of course, conductor of the Lancaster Symphony.
Yes.
Is that the only one that you're conducting at this time?
Oh, no, no. In addition, I was the founder of the Endless Mountain Music Festival, which is on the northern border of Pennsylvania near Corning, New York.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. So, wonderful. Now, that's every summer, is that?
That's 16 concerts in 17 days, yes.
Just a little thing that you kind of do.
Well, I do as much repertoire in the 16 days in Wellsboro that I do in 10 months in Lancaster.
And when do you rehearse those?
Well, we rehearse when we're there, because we have principal players from some of the major orchestras, both in Europe and the United States, that come and play in the orchestra.
If one wanted to play in that orchestra, how would one do that?
One would have to be in touch with me by email, and then references, and then I'd have to check it out. And in some cases, many of the musicians that we have staked out their claim, and they come back every year. And I'm concerned not just in people who play well, but people who really enjoy music. And that's not always the same thing.
Yes, but of course, some of the summer festivals are really marvelous and very, very.
Well, you may remember a player from Philadelphia who used to play here called Charles Rex, who became
a. Well, I'm not from Philadelphia. I'm also
from New York.
I'm from
the.
Yes.
But Charles was with the Philadelphia Orchestra. He became associate concertmaster of the New York Philharmonic. And he's one of my concert masters.
Wonderful.
In Wellsboro. So
that's really excellent. So we'll have to know more about that as well.
Yes.
And you'll give us the dates for that as well, because summer is over and we have a new season. And the new season
we are looking
is,
forward
course,
to it.
Yes, with Lancaster Symphony. How many concerts do you actually have in your season?
Our subscription series has six, and we do each concert four times.
Music of Astor Piazzolla, performed by the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra. Stephen Gunzenhauser conducting. We heard from the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires, the fourth movement, Winter, El Invierno. Now, how would one get tickets for it?
Well, the best way to go about getting tickets is really to go to the website, which is lancastersymphony.org.
And
you can. I'm not a webmaster. I'm not really electronically talented. But you go on there, and you can always get tickets. If you have trouble, you can always get the telephone number from Safari or Windows and call.
And the season runs from now.
The season opens October 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
And it will run through May.
Well, you've got plenty of time then. And once again, what's the opening concert?
Well, let me start by saying the Lancaster Symphony, when we present a concert, it's not simply the concert. To me, it's an entertainment package. That means parking. That means getting to a restaurant comfortably. That means having a nice time for the amount of time that you have devoted to classical music. We perform in the oldest concert hall in the United States, designed by Robert Fulton, who's famous for the steamship.
Yes.
And it seats 700 people, which means that every seat in the house is a visceral musical experience. Across the street is a very fine restaurant. The parking is right there. You don't have to wait 2 hours to get out of the parking lot, and you don't have to pay $30 to park. We also have a number of bars and other restaurants that are within the area. So Lancaster has become a destination point for a lot of people.
Yes, well, it's also a very charming town. And, of course, with a fine orchestra, that certainly is a perfect package.
Well, Murray Abraham has come down from New York because he loves Lancaster.
And for people who don't know who he is, he played Mozart?
No, he played Salieri.
Salieri,
and, yes.
That's right, Murray Abraham and Salieri. And,
right.
And Amadeus. So, well, okay. So
to get into what I'm doing, yeah, mm-hmm, with the programming, I am trying very hard to create a combination of works. Works that people really want to hear live as compared to on a recording, and works that they may not ever have heard before, but establish therewith a curiosity for what music is really all about. And for example, the opening concert is with Philadelphia's own Leon Bates.
Oh, yes, pianist.
But, mm-hmm. Right, but we are not doing his Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto No. 1. We are doing the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto No. 2, and not the Salotti version, which is the version that most people do. We're doing the original Tchaikovsky version, where the second movement is a string trio for piano, solo violin, and solo cello. And
new repertoire.
Coupled with that is also the Bach Orchestra Suite No. 3 that a lot of people know. A second movement being A Whiter Shade of Pale of Procol Harum. And then the Stravinsky Pulcinella. And when people hear Stravinsky, they automatically think of Rite of Spring or Petrushka. This is a very charming, virtuoso, lovely work that 6 or 7 years ago I would not have entrusted to our orchestra. But now I'm really happy to, and it's going to be a wonderful concert. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, when you buy tickets, do you buy for series?
You have a choice of a subscription package. You can also buy, there's a special name where you buy, it's a small pack, and you can trade them in for any concert.
And
I'm not
how
sure
many
what they
concerts
call.
Do you have for the whole season?
Well, there are six programs, and each program, as I say, has four concerts.
So this is the first program.
Yes, and it's Friday night, Saturday matinee.
Great.
Saturday evening and Sunday night.
Yes, Sunday
so
night. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of people will come to a Saturday matinee and they go for dinner and make a nice day of it.
Well, incidentally, it's a very fine orchestra, so you know. Now, so tell us, so the first concert is October 4th, is that right?
Yes, 4, 5, and 6.
And that's what you were, the program is what you were just telling
us
about.
Now we also have on October 3rd, which is just starting, which we have, I think, three programs during the course of the year, Symphony in a Snap. That is a $25 general admission ticket for which, at 6:30, you get hors d'oeuvres and drinks, provided by the Aramac Inn out of Lebanon or York, a very, very fine restaurant. And then you get a one-hour shortened program, which... The cocktail hour is 6:30 to 7:30.
Okay.
At 7:30, you get a one-hour program of what we're doing on the 4th, 5th, and 6th. But that program is it's not only shortened, but we also have, for those people who love texting, we have the program notes going through your iPhones,
okay,
so that people can text while they're listening to the music.
Now, do you do any conversations with the orchestra, with the customers?
Yes, absolutely.
Prior to the orchestral
concert?
Yeah,
the patrons, of course. We have, before each set of concerts, 1 hour before the concert, we have a half-hour performance preview.
Okay, so
the first one in October I'm doing.
Okay.
In which I talk about the all of the ramifications of what Tchaikovsky went through to create this, what Salotti did to louse him up and shorten the work because he was convinced the work was not good the way it stood, about Stravinsky and Pulcinella and the difference between Pulcinella and The Fairy's Kiss, another ballet work Stravinsky, and of course the Bach, and comparing it and giving some of the structural analysis.
But nothing too.
No, absolutely not. Certainly. No.
Well, people, because when they hear that, they say, well, you know, I don't understand music, and but I think that one of the wonderful additions to many of the concerts now are that the conductors speak prior to the concert about the program.
Well, and from the stage before I conduct, I also speak to the audience.
Yes.
It's much more shortened. When I speak in the performance previews, it's a half an hour. But when I'm about to go on the stage, or when I go on the stage, I then speak to the audience what their expectations should be in listening.
Well, what I think is you're giving them a performance of top quality, but it's accessible. One should not get the idea that, oh, well, it's kind of a local orchestra and we're going to, you know, it's very, you know, friendly and so on. What it is it's a performance where you have top-notch musicians and you have a fine conductor, certainly worldwide experience, and then you are getting some insights into the music and the composer's works, and that's really it. And incidentally, you can have a great meal somewhere nearby. Music of Leonard Bernstein from the suite of Dances from On the Town. We heard Times Square, 1944, performed by the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Stephen Gunzenhauser. Maestro, I understand that you worked with Leopold Stokowski for some period of time. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Leopold Stokowski was a brilliant man, and according to Leopold Stokowski, the composer was not as important as the conductor.
Well, okay.
It was the conductor that really brought the piece to its conclusion. And he did all kinds of things, Jill. He, for example, performed the premiere of Shostakovich's 10th Symphony. And there was modest applause. And so he turned to the audience and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, clearly from your applause, you have not appreciated this work. And so I'm now going to perform it again."
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
So there was this incredible intake of breath because it's a 90-minute work.
I think that he felt he had he didn't really have regard for the audience that comes in on a certain level. I think he felt he had to teach something and he could improve upon what was already written. And you hear that in his performances of even the Bach, you know, the organ toccata and fugue.
Yes.
I mean, everything was big, big, big and overblown. And I think it's good taste. It's in good taste, I must say. But it is a little bit egocentric.
Oh, wait, absolutely. And you know what his real name was?
No, don't. I'm going to shatter the illusion.
Leo Stokes, born in Soho.
Okay, yes. I had heard about that.
But
yeah.
Did he
speak with a Russian accent?
Yeah. No, he spoke at times with a Polish accent.
Okay.
But it depended on whom he was talking to.
But you have to hand it to him, literally. I mean, he made something out of very little. Even his presence was very flamboyant, I think.
He's remarkable, and he contributed a lot to what I am as a person and as a musician. My technique and my technical skills come through when I was a Fulbright scholar in Cologne to Igor Markevich, who is the ultimate mentor for me. But what Stokowski brought to me was this concept that we're not doing Beethoven's Fifth in order just to create another experience for people. People have heard lots of experiences with the Beethoven's Five. What we are doing is we are creating entertainment of, in many cases, the most sophisticated level. But we are creating entertainment packages.
It's an interesting concept. There's something there about being true to the original, which he doesn't feel is necessary.
No, he does not.
And then also, it's a little, as I said, it's egotistical in a way, is saying, I can improve, I can, to use the expression, which is misused, by the way, gilding the lily, which was not exactly the way Shakespeare said it. You know, why would you want to make something already wonderful, spoil it with what your concept is of beauty, which
yes.
is...
Well, so, you see, when people go to concerts in Europe, they are preserving cultural legacy.
Mm-hmm.
When people go to concerts in the United States, it isn't that you want to play down to them. It isn't that you want to simplify or make music more base. What it's about is people are coming to concerts to be entertained. And that can be in the most positive, wonderful way, to have an incredible experience and to be able to take Beethoven's Fifth Symphony or to take Brahms' Second Piano Concerto. Those are great works, and they need to be, we need to be held true to those works.
Exactly.
But at the same time, we need to create an environment which allows people to enjoy it.
Well, again, I mean, that's a conversation that could go on for a very long time, but I think it's like dumbing it down, this expression they use sometimes. But he doesn't do that. What he does is he expands. That's what I find in all of the Stokowski transcriptions. He expands, and he expands, and he knows what he's doing. But it's again saying, oh, you see Stokowski, the name there, and you see he's playing this, that, and the other. And you say, oh, I wonder if it's the real thing, or is it Stokowski's perception of what people should hear or enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where he always was kind of, he was on track, but there was always that kind of perception of him that he was going to change it. And we could argue whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. He's saying, what would the audience, and it's not giving the audience enough credit in a way. So I think that's really that's a discussion for another time. But I think he was essentially a very fine and brilliant musician and
he was,
a marvelous arranger.
He was a marvelous arranger. He had incredible skill with the instruments.
Mm-hmm.
He also placed them in different places on the stage. I remember one series of concerts in which the entire woodwind section
yes.
was seated like a pit orchestra on the right, instead of having them in the center of the orchestra.
And with the Philadelphia Orchestra, the harpist told me, well, I was told that she was placed all by herself away from the orchestra when they were doing something special. And it was really, she just kind of had no way of seeing what he was doing. But
what was interesting about Stokowski was that he went with the premise that you're going to hear a number of versions of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, but this was his interpretation. In other words, he gave it some thought in terms of what he wanted to do, whereas many conductors simply perform Beethoven's Fifth Symphony without going beyond just doing what the note says.
But there are those conductors who interpret the same thing differently. He changes it.
Yes, okay.
And that's what I, that's,
yeah.
And again, I mean a brilliant, brilliant conductor and composer and arranger and everything else. But what I say is there's always that issue is I think the genius lies in interpretation of what exists. I really do, personally, even in drama. And it's like taking Shakespeare and saying, you know, it's going to read better this way. Or you read what is written and you interpret it a certain way. And I think that's really the essence of what being true to the art is.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many opinions on that. However, I think Stokowski's his whole collection of what he has done, they're marvelous things. And of course, the Fantasia was a brilliant, brilliant thing. So that also brought a lot of knowledge to people that didn't know any of the great works of
That's
the classical
right.
repertoire. So again, you were very, very fortunate and honored, I'm sure, to be chosen to work with him. I'm sure you've learned many lessons.
It was
and,
a great ride.
Yeah, a great ride. And you are, again, passing on, you know, what you feel the audience will really enjoy.
Yes.
And I think we're very lucky to have you. And I appreciate your coming.
Well, thank you. And
I hope we'll speak again about
being here.
Yes, other things that you're planning.
That would be great.
Okay. We've been speaking with Maestro Stephen Gunzenhauser, conductor of the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra. For further details on this season's performances, go to lancastersymphony.org or call the box office at 717-397-7425. We listen next to music of Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. Here is his Capricho Español, performed by the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Stephen Gunzenhauser. Music of Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, his Capricho Español, performed by the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Stephen Gunzenhauser. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group, Incorporated. Thanks for listening.